builders of and participants in the post-war boom. They had accepted a hand up in the GI Bill, but they never took a hand out. They made their own way. A few of them became rich, a few became powerful. Almost all of them built their houses and did their jobs and raised their families and lived good lives, taking full advantage of the freedom they had helped to preserve. It seems appropriate to start with the severely wounded. Corporal Walter Gordon had been shot in the back in Bastogne and paralyzed. After 6 weeks in hospital in England, lying helplessly in his Crutchfield tongs, he began to have some feelings in his extremities. He had been helped by Dr. Stadium, who would stand at the foot of his bed and provoke him. "You're nothing but a goddamn gold brick, Gordon." Gordon would stiffen, snap back, get angry. Because Stadium would not give up on him, Gordon says, "it never occurred to me that I could be a hopeless cripple." When the tongs came off, Stadium got him to walking, or at least shuffling. In the spring of 1945, Gordon was listed as walking wounded and sent by hospital ship back to the States, where he slowly recuperated at Lawson General Hospital in Atlanta. He was there when the war in Europe ended. He walked with pain in the back. He sat with pain in the back. He slept with it. Any physical work was far beyond his capabilities. He was obviously of no further use to the Army. By the middle of June, his father was demanding to know when he would be discharged. "I don't know," was all Gordon could reply. On June 16th, Gordon had an examination. The young doctor then told him he was being transferred to Fort Benning, listed as fit for limited duty. So far as Gordon could make out, his reason was, "Nerve wounds are slow to heal, and to discharge a veteran with my degree of disability would justify a substantial award of compensation. By retaining me for additional months, my condition would no doubt improve." Gordon called his father to give him the news. His father went into a tirade. He pointed out to me that I had been wounded twice and was now, in his words, a cripple. He felt that I had done my fair share and the time had come for me to return home. He then gave his son an order to pass along a message to the Army doctor. Gordon did as told, although with some embarrassment. He began by running on about how this was a message from his father and that he disavowed any connection with it. "Get on with it," the doctor barked, indicating how busy he was. "My father says to tell you that if I am sent to any location other than home, he will come fetch me and fly me to Washington, D.C., and if necessary, strip me to the waist on the floor of the Senate.